Pioneer Community Church, so let me say thanks to your pastors and leaders for inviting me. I greet you once again in the name which is above every name, the name of His saving majesty, King Jesus, the first and the last. Today is Mother's Day, and you cannot miss it for all that has been said and put on the board here. And I just want to join with all of you in honoring and celebrating mothers on this day when we think of them, all the mothers of the world, and in particular, those of you who are here. And when we say mother, and Brother Gary was very inclusive, we think of women who, of course, have given birth to children of their own. And then a number who have not given birth, but they have adopted. Now, my dear brother, you have to take it up gently. And before you lose anything that's in the front of it there. Oh.
Yes, sir.
Now, mankind suffered already from a fall.
Thank you, sir.
Now, where was I? Yes. And some who haven't had children, but they have adopted and raised them as their own. And then I want to include the big sisters who, because of some circumstance in life, have had to raise their younger siblings. And some aunties who have adopted nephews and nieces as their own. And then I want to include as well the foster mothers who see mothering as a ministry for orphaned and abandoned children. And then some other category, for there are some children out there who have adopted some ladies. The initiative was not with the mother this time, it's with the child out there who calls. I know at my house we get calls from people who are not our children by any means, but they have just determined that they're going to call my wife mother, and so they called already since morning to wish Happy Mother's Day. So all of that group, I hope that you have said Happy Mother's Day to your mom. And if you haven't and she's here right now, get up from your seat and go say Happy Mother's Day. Tell her you love her. Anybody like that? You have all been happy mothered already then.
We are grateful.
When I was a boy, if your Bible fell, you had to kiss it.
Not sure how Christian that is, but this one is not working properly. This one gives me a lot of time, so I will avoid that one.
Because today is Mother's Day, and my wife is not here. She's ministering in a Mother's Day service and expects me to join the rest of the family for Mother's Day lunch.
Thank you. Now, my brothers and sisters, there are many great and noble mothers of Scripture that we could bring this morning who would serve as wonderful models for us. But I would like today to center stage somebody who is not usually mentioned, but I believe that we can learn something from her painful story. And before we turn to the scriptures, just a little bit of background. It concerns
one of the most important personalities in biblical history, a man by the name of Abraham, specially called of God for a great mission. A man whose history covers 13 chapters of the book of Genesis, and who is also mentioned with many verses in the Hall of Heroes of the Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. God promised Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 2 that he would be the father of a great nation. And then in Genesis 13 and verse 16, God said to him that his descendants would be like the dust of the earth. And if that was not enough, in Genesis 15 and verse 5, God said to him one night, "Look at the stars in the sky. They are without number. So will your descendants be." But now, Abraham is 86 years old, and his wife is 76 years old. He's 10 years older than she, and they don't have any children. I believe that they've been trying hard for years, but nothing. And now, Abraham is getting on in years. And his wife Sarah, the Bible says she is barren, and she has long since passed the normal childbearing years. And yet they have a word from God, but nothing is happening. And so wife Sarah consults with her husband Abe, and they come up with a plan to start a family. And Sarah goes to her handmaid, an Egyptian young lady, and explains the dilemma. "We would really like to have a family, but I'm long since past childbearing age, and I've been barren, and my husband is getting there." Let me drink some water. I see by the smile on the faces of some of you that you understood. Yes. And so she says to this maid of hers, Hagar by name, an Egyptian, "We need your help. We need your help. We have this promise of God, but nothing has happened. And the truth is, we would really love to have a family, and I know that my husband would love to have a son. Can you help us? I would like for you to sleep with my husband and bear him a child." Wonderful. Now, she thinks about it, and I think she feels, not a bad idea. Sarah wants Hagar to become the first surrogate mother. She and Abe, they are going to rent her womb. And I think that this young lady figures, this is tantamount to a promotion. My status must change in the household. And then you know what happened? When she becomes pregnant, suddenly things start to go sour.
For the moment that she has a belly, she's pushing it out. And she's beginning to get a bit uppity. She's beginning to think that maybe I can be number one and displace Sarah. Now, I'm not making it up. It's there in the Bible. For after all, she doesn't see herself as bearing a baby for Sarah. She's bearing a baby for Abraham. She's going to give him what Sarah couldn't give him. And all hell begins to break loose. All hell begins to break loose. Turn with me now, if you will, please, to Genesis. And I hope I can read in this light. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 14. Father, we pray your blessing now as we're about to read from your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So Abraham rose early in the morning. By this time, Sarah had said to him, she's got to go. She's got to go. For she, Sarah, at 90, God has done a miracle for her. And she has Isaac, the son of promise. And she says, that woman. Just like ladies, you know, she doesn't remember her name anymore. That woman. But where, she said to her husband, not only that woman, that bond woman is out of here. Okay, so here it is now. Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water. And putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not. For God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. The title of my message is, Fear Not, for God has heard. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Then she went and filled the skin with water, and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Title, as I say, is from that verse, Fear Not, God Has Heard. And I guess my prayer is that maybe some mother may be able to identify with this story, and God just wants to say to you, fear not, I have heard.
My brothers and sisters, what we have just read is for me a very touching story. Another bit of evidence of that truism. Everything changes, yet everything remains the same. For it is true that this particular story is something that we could be reading today. If you go by the supermarket, you know, those scandalous tabloids, National Enquirer or whatever the name is, that loves to publish some unsavory story about big prominent people like Abraham and the kind of dalliance he has had with some young chick. Or it may be a chapter of one of the television episodes of Maury Povich, if I pronounce his name correctly. For this kind of situation and the plight of this young lady Hagar is far too common, a plight of a whole number of ladies. And you have to bear with me, I cannot escape my own background. I come from a little island of Jamaica, and so a whole number of the things I know and feel are informed out of my time there. There are a whole number of ladies who face Hagar's plight. And I believe this morning God would want to say to all of us and to them in particular, fear not, I have heard, I have heard. My brothers and sisters, I want you to think with me for the next few moments about what I'm calling Hagar's dilemma. Hagar's dilemma. She was young and beautiful. I believe the men would probably agree with me. She was young and beautiful. And because of the work that she was doing, I want to think she was hardworking as well. And she wasn't really bad. There is nothing in the scriptures to suggest that she was a girl of loose character. And when you are honest about it, you really can't blame her for everything that she's facing now. For she was set up by two people whom she trusted and to whom she was beholden, for she worked for them. She was young and they were much older. She was poor and they were rich. And on top of everything else, she was an alien. Maybe she was an undocumented worker. Maybe she had a visitor's visa. She was in need of work and she found a job with this lady. She was the helper to Mrs. Sarah Abraham. And you and I must face it that in this situation, she's extremely vulnerable. And they came to her with a kind of plan that sounded so reasonable and with such justification and providing such prospects. I want to say to you, she could hardly say no and still keep her job. And she trusted these people. And after all, when you work in an environment like that and somebody suggests this kind of thing, surely they are putting you in a position of privilege and promotion. But whenever an employer sleeps with an employee, whenever a teacher sleeps with a student, whenever a husband sleeps with the household helper, be sure something is going to go sour. Something is going to go sour.
And so here she is facing a great dilemma, because now at this point in her life, when we meet her in the story, she's being sent away. She has this son called Ishmael. And while she was pregnant, walking around boasting about her pregnancy, Mrs. Abraham said, that's not what I bargained for. I bargained for a surrogate mother. I was bargaining to rent your womb to produce a child for us. But now, and she got really mean with her, and the Bible says Hagar had to run away. It was too much. But she came back and had the child. And then years passed, and God did this unusual miracle for this 90-year-old lady. She has a son called Isaac, and the husband is 100 years old. Can you believe it? And they have a child. And now that Isaac is born, Mrs. Abraham said, Abe, get rid of her. She ain't raising that son under the same roof with my boy. She has served her purpose. She has to go. And you read those words, and they sent her away. I don't know how it is for you, but I feel the pain for this lady. She has been used. And now she's not wanted anymore. She's sent away, but she has no friends. And she has no family. Family is in another country. And she's sent away. She is on her own. And she's not prepared for this. And she doesn't know where to go and what she's going to do. She has a real problem. And the man, her baby's father, sends her away with some bread and some water. My Lord, what a shame. You mean this is all the child support he's going to give? And he's a rich man, he's a wealthy man, and he sends her away with only bread and water, nothing more, and she's the mother of his child, and he sent her away knowing it's wilderness out there, and she has far to go, and he doesn't give her transport? You mean he couldn't give her a donkey? He has a whole lot of donkeys. Couldn't he even give her one of the old used models? We laugh, but this is reality, and this is the dilemma she faces. I'm sent out with this boy. He's a youngster now. He is in his teens. And this is all the support I have gotten. And before long, the food runs out, and the bread is finished, and the water is done, and you are a mother with a child, with no resources, no friends, no house, no shelter, no food, nothing whatsoever. And your child is hungry and thirsty, and having fever, and beginning to look like he won't make it. If any of you have ever been there, you have some idea of the kind of pain she's going through. And I'm saying, oh, this is Mother's Day, but if you listen in between the lines, I'm saying something to our men, because I come from a country where too many men abandon their responsibilities. No, I don't expect an amen, but it is a fact. It is a fact. And so here she is, nothing, no one to turn to, No, not even to share a word with. Nobody to ask for help. Nobody to fix anything. Hagar's dilemma. And then I want you to think with me for a few moments about Hagar's despair. For suddenly the whole of the situation hits her. I can't feed my child. I can't protect him. I can't provide for him. He's sick and I can't help him. I don't even have water to give him. And there's not even a big tree out in this wilderness under which we can get a little shelter. The Bible says only a little shrub. And she puts the weak kid underneath the shrub to get a little shelter from the unrelenting sun. And like a mother, she can't stay right there to see him die moment by moment. It says she goes abroad. Shut. She can still see him, but she's not quite there. And the Bible says she lifted up her voice and wept. The children who are here, the sons and daughters who are here today, I just want you to know we owe a lot to our mommies, you know. Sometimes we have no idea when the door is closed and nobody else is around. Mother is weeping her heart out, sobbing and crying out to God for his help for you and his help for herself. Because no daddy, no man, he's abandoned me. He's left me. I was nice. And when he found me, I was pure. I had no children. I didn't even have the thought about it. But they seduced me. And here I am now. No father. No one around me. And she weeps before God out of her dilemma. And her despair. I know none of you are here, but I speak for a lot of women this morning who this Mother's Day are still crying like Hagar because I feel abandoned and rejected, used and unloved, and I have nothing. Hagar's dilemma and Hagar's despair and Hagar's discovery. Verse 17, Hagar's discovery. Thank God she's been abandoned by man, but not abandoned by God. She's been abandoned by man, but not abandoned by God. And God speaks to her. She realizes that whereas the man gave her a wineskin of water, God is giving her a well. God is giving her a well. My brothers and sisters, she hears a voice from heaven speaking to her. And calling out, what ails you, Hagar? And she discovers that the God of heaven knows about her plight. The God of heaven knows about her situation. He knows exactly where she is. And on top of it, he's calling her by name. And she discovers God and that he cares for her. He knows about her. He knows about her situation. He knows about the boy. And he even knows her name. And here I am this morning. Just to say to all of us, even out in the wilderness, even with the heavy burdens upon your heart, even with knowing that some earthly father has failed, God is saying to us from heaven today, I know exactly where you are. I know exactly what you are going through. I know the pain that is upon your heart for the relationship that has gone sour. Is it time to quit, brother? Not quite. Okay, very good, very good.
And God is saying to some Hagar here today, I've been following you. I know what's going on. I know about your situation. And I am going to deliver you.
My brothers and sisters, the Bible says that God, I think it's verse 19, pointed out to her, called her to open her eyes and see the well of water. You know, God is amazing. He's always doing more than what anybody else can do for you. God cares for us. Ladies, God cares for you more than that man. And sons and daughters here, God knows whether your daddy has provided for you or not, but he cares about you. And God said to her, open your eyes and see. There's a well, and the well was nearby, you know. It wasn't far away. God is now providing more for her than Abraham ever did. God is becoming her source and her provider. God is not just taking up the job that Abraham has abandoned. God is the kind of God who has more resources than Abraham could ever have. And he wants us to know today, I care for you more than your earthly father. I even care for you more than the man who was in your life. And I have exactly what you need. And so we would say, Hagar, what you need to do is to go to that well and drink some of the water from that well. And you will find that it will refresh you. It will give you new life. It will revitalize you. That's what God has. And he wants to say to us today, I have a place where the thirsty hearts and souls of men and women can be refreshed. He wants to tell you, it's nearby, it's not far away. He's provided for our salvation, for our rescue, for our relief. And God doesn't want you to keep focusing on that mean man, Abraham. He doesn't want you to keep focusing on that relationship that has gone sour and your soul is captured with all kinds of hostility and bitterness for what he didn't do. God is saying to us today, to Hagar and to Hagar's son, look to me at what I have provided, and you will be freed of all the bitterness and the hurt and the burdens that you've been carrying. God wants to be father to some Ishmael. And God wants to be husband to some Hagar today. The well. Drink of it. And I would say to Hagar, what you need to do, bring your son to the well as well. Mother, when you have gone and provided and experienced relief, salvation from the well of God's provision, please remember, you need to take your son and your daughter to that same place. the best gift that a mom can give her child, the best gift that a father can give his children, is when we have tasted of the goodness of God and we know where the well of salvation is, and we bring our children so that they may experience. But you gotta drink first and then take them with you so that they too may experience. You know, sometimes our kids don't want to come. I'm dealing with a daddy right now with two boys. Father, Christian. Mother, a Christian. Grandparents, committed Christians. One boy at 14 saying, I don't want to go to church. I think it's totally boring. I don't want to go. And when you force me to go there, I just shut down when I'm there. And plays with what you call the pads now, iPad or knee pad or whatever pad it is. But you know, sometimes we never know when God will break through. No, I didn't have rebellion in my heart. You have heard me share this testimony. I didn't even know there was the possibility of not going to church or even turning up my nose. Those things didn't exist in the home life I grew up in. It was for granted. But I would go and sit there, look the preacher in the face, draw cartoons. I'd got the boys beside me in trouble. Why can't you be like Jerry Gallimore? Look, the rapt attention he gives to the preacher. But on the 23rd of September 1953, when I was 15 years old, God sent a converted farm worker, converted right here, I believe, in Belgrade, came back and had the kind of salvation experience that you can't keep quiet about. If you stop him, then his mouth is coming out through his ears. And that Sunday, when he preached, I didn't draw any cartoons. Who told that man in the pulpit about me? Why is it every time he points his finger, he's pointing at me? God has a way sometimes, even when we are rebellious, are breaking through, and I'm saying to that daddy, bring the child along as he's under your roof and you are providing for him. This is one of those disciplines, and let us pray and hope. You know who I'm talking about, for we've called your name, so don't say we've called your name in a good sense. You know, I mean that. Yeah, yes, 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 yes. But my brothers and sisters, the best gift that we can give our children is when we say to them, come and drink of the water of life, and you will find that it will make all the difference in the world. And the boy drinks, and the next verse of scripture says, and God was with the lad, and he grew. And they got past that crisis. And he grew up. And he got married. That's in the last verse I read. And mom said, you need to marry somebody out of our culture. Lord, I'm in trouble now, but that's what the Bible says, you know. Went and found a wife out of Egypt, our culture. And if you turn to chapter 25 and look at verses 13 to 15, I think it is, he had a profession. Well, we have that in the verse we read. He was an archer. He had a wife. And he prospered. He had a big family. And Genesis 25 says, God gave 12 princes from the man. Lord, it's amazing what God can do with throwaway people. It is amazing what God can do with throwaway people. And that's why I love him. and preach his gospel. For God has a way of hearing. He hears the cries of hungry children. He hears the cries of abandoned children. He hears the cries of children abandoned by their fathers. And he comes to help them, and he comes to help their worried mothers as well. That's why we call him Father. For he loves us and he cares for us. You read the scriptures, and maybe some of you have some experience in your own families. God raises up some throwaway people. Nobody expected them to even survive. And he does some amazing things with them. And this morning on Mother's Day, God would simply say to every mother here, and to every Hagar here, I know about your situation. I know the pain you feel, the abandonment and the hurt. I know how angry you get when you hear the name of that man. But I want you to look away from what you didn't get from him and look at what I have provided for you, so that now you find in God what you need more than ever. And he becomes your sustenance, your savior, your God and your Lord. And you can forget the man and move on with your life. But it takes God. He's calling somebody's name from heaven this morning. Hagar, where are you? Are you here? I know about your hurt. I know about your pain. Leave me to deal with the man back there. I will deal with him, but I have a well for you. I have sustenance for you. I have new life for you. I have refreshment for you. I have restoration for you and your son. I've got a great future for you. The wilderness will not kill you if today you hear the voice of God and come and drink at the well of his provision. Mothers, God cares about you and the child or the children you are raising. And once he's provided and revealed himself to you, then lead your child, lead your son, lead your daughter to have the same experience. It's time to quit. Bow your heads with me. It was Horatius Bonar who wrote these words. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water. Thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived. And now I live in him. We bow our heads in God's presence today. I pray there's nobody like Hagar here. But if you are, God's got an open heart for you. He's got restoration for you. He's got what you need most urgently. He will give you life and refreshing. So mothers, this morning, I invite you to bring your hurts to God. For he sees, and he cares, and he wants to deliver you. And he would say to us this morning, fear not, I have heard. I have heard the cry of your heart. This morning, bring your broken, disappointed, hurting heart to him. you need him for yourself, but bring your children as well. Bring your boy, bring your girl to the Lord today. Tell him about your fears for them. Tell him about your anxieties. Tell him about your concerns. I invite you, Mom, to drink of God's well of salvation. He wants to meet your need. You can't help that boy or that girl until you have been helped. Introduce your kids, our kids, to God's well. Bring them. Encourage them to drink so that they may live and be sustained. For God has a future for them. And no such things as throwaway people in God's economy. For he has a way of reaching down with those that others have thrown away, like a Joseph. And when God's finished, he makes a prime minister out of him. Dear Lord, heads bowed in your presence today, pray for every mother who's here. Pray for every mother whose heart may be burdened because of some bad experience in a bad relationship that's gone sour. Listen to so much tongue lashing and experience so much hurt and rejection. But today they have come to your house and you're saying from heaven, I know about your pain. I know about your hurts. I know about your concern for your child. But I've made provision for you and for your child. For you to live. This is not the end. As long as God is in the picture, there's hope and joy and a future. What will you do today? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Can I pray with anyone, mother? Or maybe with a child who's had some problems with that absentee father? Raise your hand where you are. God bless you. Anyone else? This is between you and God. He's calling out. God bless you too, from heaven. Maybe your name is not Hagar, but he's saying, I see exactly what's going on. I know the hurts and the pains. I know your anxieties and concerns for your broken relationship and for your children. But I have a plan to restore you and to restore them. This morning, as Hagar discovered God and that he knew her and knew her by name and her situation, I invite you today to reach up to the Father of Heaven. For he's saying, fear not. I have heard your cry. And I've come to deliver you. I've got salvation. I've got a well of living water springing up. Won't you come and drink? Come and taste what I've provided. Come and let him flood your being with his love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. You leave from here, and you're able to cut free and break loose from those chains that have been holding you back. And you realize there's a life apart from Abraham. There's a life that God gives that provides for a future. Oh God, for those with hands upraised and those who didn't, but from whose heart you heard the cry, I ask this morning that just as you did for Hagar, found new life, found new strength, and found out that there was a God who would talk with her and walk with her and take care of her and take care of her child and provide a future and a hope. So may we leave here today knowing there is no desert, but that God is there with me. There is no lack, but that God can be my supply. And there's no experience of heartbreak and sorrow, but that God can wash it away and give me a new experience to carry me going. May your name be honored. And may you go with each and bless every mother and every child in Jesus' name.
I invite you to stand with us as we close in the word, in a song.